is so powerful in really life principles and guidelines. And you really think about what Solomon is saying, that without counsel, purposes or plans are disappointed, they're broken, they come to naught without counsel. How important counsel really is. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 10. And what I want to preach to you about this morning is choosing the right circle of influence. Church, choosing the right circle of influence. 2 Chronicles chapter number 10, starting at verse number 3. It's a story of a young man who becomes king, and in all reality, he chooses the wrong circle of influence. Proverbs, or 2 Chronicles 10 and 3, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. At this point, after Rehoboam gives himself 3 days, and you know what he's going to do in these 3 days? He's going to get with his circle of influence. He is going to find his counselors, and he's going to debate the issue back and forth for 3 days. Here's how the story unfolds. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? They spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice give ye, that we may return answer to this people which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. Verse 10 says, the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thou shalt answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father hath made our yoke heavy, but thou shalt make it somewhat lighter for us. Verse number 8 is where I'd really like for the word of God just to jump off the page. He forsook the counsel which the old men gave. Choosing the right circle of influence. May the Lord bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The right circle of influence. I want to have the right circle of influence, don't you? Can I tell you the Bible has much to say about counsel, both good and bad. How many believe there's good counsel and then there's bad counsel? How many's ever received good advice? How many's ever received bad advice? Right counsel, wrong counsel. Godly counsel, ungodly counsel. The Bible regards in high esteem the value of good counsel. The desire for God, for you and I, is to have wisdom. And we gain that wisdom through a variety of measures, sometimes through the study of God's Word. How many believe we can find counsel? Through the experiences of life, the tests and trials of serving God, how many know we can find counsel and we can find wisdom with the Lord? But there's another way that we find counsel, and that is simply having those around us that are our circle of influence. We ask those around us, those who we trust, and we ask counsel of their advice. So whether you refer to them this way or not, they are actually your circle of influence. And those people that we respect are those that speak into our lives and influence the direction and the decisions that we make. They have to have our respect before they can influence our lives. If they do not have our respect, they cannot influence us. And so we always ask those people that we respect, and then we value their opinion, and it becomes part of our decision and our direction. If I could, over the last few minutes, ask you about the characteristics of the counselors in your circle, what would the list look like? Who are the people that you confide in, or who are the people that you ask counsel of, that guide and help make the decisions that direct your life? Who are the people that you go to that give you counsel? Not talking about the experiences of the tests and trials of serving God where we find wisdom. I'm not talking about Bible study where we gain wisdom. But I'm asking, what are the people, what are the characteristics, what are the qualities of the people that you find counsel in, and how do they influence and direct the decisions of your life? Listen to how important counsel is, because Solomon writes in 11 and 14 of Proverbs, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, how many remember what the Bible says? There is safety. There is safety in a multitude of counselors. Solomon writes just one chapter later, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He writes one chapter later, with the well-advised, there is wisdom. So how many believe there is an extreme value upon counsel in the word of the Lord? There is an importance for you and I to have those people around us that are speaking into our lives, that are for our benefit and for the plan of God that is going to be unfolded in our life. But you know what? Most of the time our tendency is to surround ourselves with people, or could I call them counselors, that think like us and say what we really want to hear and not necessarily the truth. Because that's the story that I have before you today. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, becomes king. The Bible refers to him as a young man. He's 41 years old, but yet he's a newly installed king. And the Bible says that he wants to surround himself with men, really, that don't speak against what he desires, but really he surrounds himself with men who think like him and are already going to say and agree with what he has decided to do. Now, that's not a counselor. That's a running mate. That's a friend. That's whatever you want to call it, but that's not a counselor. He chooses to call his counselor men that are really giving him permission for what he has already sought and decided to do. I want counselors in my life. People that maybe are looking at the decision that I'm going to make, and I'm going to give you four principles in just a little bit about counselors. But before we get there, I want you and I to understand that we have to have the counselors, and we have to have them speaking into our life to help formulate the decisions, because there's an adversary. Remember my text in Proverbs, that without counsel, promises or purposes or plans are destroyed. They're broken, that they come to naught. I don't know about you, but there is a plan of God that God wants to unfold in every one of our lives. How many believe God has good things in store for you, that God has things that he wants to bring into your life, and there are counselors that will help guide us down that path? But the devil also knows that he could put people in our path that will speak into our life, that will cause us to be distracted, that will cause us to miss the will of God. If there's anything that I choose today, I want to choose the plan of God. I want to choose the will of God. Yes, oh yes, there is a thief coming, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he will set counselors in the way that will distract us and cause us to miss God's will. But I love the last part of that verse, when Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. How many want to have the counsel of godly people in your life? Well, there's three counselors before we get to the friends in your life and my life. But the Bible says, Psalms 119 and 24, thy testimonies are my counselors. How many believe this is a great counselor? It's not a trick question. The psalmist said in 119 and 24, thy testimonies are my counselors. Can I tell you, you don't need anybody to counsel you if it's already found in God's word.
Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about situations maybe in life that are somewhat vague and somewhat convoluted. But if it's black and white in the word of the Lord, how many knows that it's not up for a vote, that it's not up to denominational headquarters, that it's not up for revision, that this is not suggestions, but it is commandments. Thy testimonies are my counselors. John 16:13 says that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Not only is the word of God my counselor, but how many believe the indwelling presence of God and the Holy Ghost is my counselor? When he is come, he will guide you into all truth. Friend, if you pray through to the Holy Ghost, whatever the Holy Ghost speaks into your life, that, my friend, is the mind and the plan of God. You don't need anybody to second question that. You don't need anybody to second guess that. The Holy Ghost makes no mistakes. He is more than an emotion. He is the abiding comforter to the church. Amen. He is in the essence of the Spirit of Christ, and he will guide us into all truth. Matter of fact, concerning the Holy Ghost, the Word of God says he speaks not of himself, but he speaks that which he has heard, that he is the messenger from the glory world into our life. Amen. You're questioning or wondering a decision, I'll tell you what to do. Pray through to the Holy Ghost and let God answer for himself. Amen. The Word of God is a counselor. The Holy Ghost is a counselor. But thirdly, Jesus Christ is my counselor as well. For Isaiah 9:6 says, "But unto you a child is given and a son is born. His name shall be Wonderful, but his name shall be Counselor." Amen. Oh, yes. I know when lawyers enter the courtroom, they may refer to them as counselors. I realize that they have a great understanding of the laws of this world, and their intellect should be esteemed. But can I talk to you this morning and tell you that Christ Jesus is the high counselor, that he is the great and mighty counselor. Amen. What he says and what he declares, it is the word of the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. So you're in good company this morning with counselors. Jesus Christ is a counselor. The Holy Ghost is a counselor. And the word of the Lord is a counselor. So my friend, this morning again, the value of godly counsel, it is incalculable. But let me take you back to my story again and say, what is the importance of good counsel? Well, Rehoboam becomes the king. He needs counsel. He accepts the wrong counsel. And unfortunately, the kingdom is literally divided in two. Saul, David, Solomon all ruled the United Kingdom. But because of the decision that Rehoboam makes, Israel is literally divided into two. You and I may not be dividing kingdoms today over counsel, but what are we dividing? There are homes that are seeking godly counsel, and if they do not get it, is that home going to be divided? There are marriages that are seeking godly counsel, and if they don't get that godly counsel, is that marriage in trouble? There are young people seeking direction for their life today, and if they do not get godly counsel, are they in jeopardy of becoming a statistic and a tragedy on life's highway? Again, let me remind you, Solomon said that there is safety in a multitude of counselors. He that hearketh unto counsel is wise. With the well advised, there is wisdom. And so this morning, you need some counselors. S-O-M-E. And I felt like the Holy Ghost gave me these four things to tell you this morning. And it's an acronym for some. S-O-M-E. M-E. Here's who you need speaking into your life. Number one, spiritual counselors. You need counselors that are more spiritual than you are. You cannot get godly counsel from somebody that is less spiritual than you. You've got to find somebody that is walking closer to God than you are. A kindergartner cannot, no matter how smart you think your kindergartner is. I realize that when they start, you think they're all going to be rocket scientists. But a kindergartner is not going to tutor a 10th grader. It's not going to, well, there's a couple of 10th graders I've wondered about, but for the most part, most kindergartners cannot tutor a 10th grader. I met some college people I thought some kindergartners could tutor, really, to be honest with you. But the fact of the matter is that they have not escalated educationally enough to be able to articulate on that level. And it is true spiritually in the kingdom of God. We've got people that have elevated spiritually, and all of a sudden they're trying to make a decision, and instead of finding somebody more mature in God or somebody that is more spiritual, they surround themselves by people that are less spiritual, and they get carnal advice, they get wrong advice, and before long they have stopped growing in God, and all of a sudden they are retarding in the process of serving God. That's why the writer said in 1 and 10 of Proverbs, when sinners entice thee, when they try to get you to back up, here's what you do. Consent thou not. Consent thou not. Psalms 1:1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. How many want to be blessed of the Lord today? He said, blessed is the man. I said, blessed is the man. How many believe God can bless somebody today? Blessed is the man that will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You need somebody that is more spiritual. But yet when folks come to that point, our tendency, whether you say amen or not right now, it doesn't matter. Our tendency when we get stuck is to surround ourselves by people less spiritual, because it does not challenge us and it does not make us uncomfortable. It reinforces who we are. We've got to find people more spiritual. I hate to inform, maybe some of you don't feel like there's anybody more spiritual than you are. But I'm going to find, if you'll search hard and long enough, there's probably somebody in the kingdom of God that's a little bit more spiritual than you are. Numbers 31:16, the Bible introduces us to Balaam, who was an eloquent preacher, but we know that he was bribed by Balak. But notice the words of the Lord. In the 16th verse of Numbers 31, the word of God says, behold, these calls the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam. Through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord. Here is a man that should have been more spiritual than the people, but he was less spiritual than the people. And the people backed up and they trespassed against God. Amen. Sit up and take note. If someone counsels you and they attempt to pull you down, cause you to back up, question your convictions, you don't need them in your circle. I said they're not in your circle of influence. I need people that are more spiritual, that have stronger convictions, that have more revelation. You don't graduate in the kingdom of God. You don't get your diploma in this life. Amen. There's nobody that graduates in this world. It's the next world. And so until that trumpet sounds, I've got to get closer to God. I've got to get more spiritual to God. And when I feel my feet slip and I start to step backward, I've got to get in the counsel of some godly men. I've got to get some counsel of some people that are closer to heaven. I said, I don't want to lose out now. I've come too far to turn back now. Spiritual. Number two, objective. You need counselors that are objective, that are not so close to the situation that they don't get wrapped up in all kinds of emotions or a conflict
of interest. It'd be like looking over at Dan Vaden Chevrolet or Coastal Chevrolet and seeing a man out there on the lot, and all he's asking that salesman about is Ford trucks. Now, what is a Chevrolet salesman going to tell a man that's on a lot asking about Ford trucks? He's been cows. I don't need any advice. He's been because you don't. Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you know what? In a training, in a sales meeting, he has been shown some of the weak statistics. He has been shown some of the flaws. Even though it may, he's not going to tell that guy looking at the Chevrolet truck that the Ford is the best-selling truck year after year. He's not going to put that in his closing spiel. He's going to try to maybe, if there's been a recall, if there's been a decrease in sales volume, he's going to try to convolute the story and close the sale on a Chevrolet truck. And so it is in counsel. Sometimes we try to seek counsel from people that are not, they're not being objective. Amen. It's like they're driving a Ford truck and they're selling Chevrolets. They got their Ford truck parked behind the dealership and they're trying to sell a bill of goods. Can I preach to you this morning? Amen. I want counselors that can look in my life and tell me straight up or down, yes or no. Here is how the cow ate the cabbage. This is the way that it should be. This is the word of God. And without fear, and without favor, and without political influence, that will stand and say, thus saith the word of the Lord. Oh yeah, 10 spies influenced a whole nation. Now let me ask you the question, does it sound like they might have not been objective? Because Joshua and Caleb come back after spying out Canaan land and they say something to the effect like, we can take it. It's ours. God's given it to us. It is ours. We are well able. Then the 10 spies, Oh no. We're grasshoppers. We're grasshoppers in the sight of the sons of Anak. That's the last verse of the 13th chapter. And you know what the first verse of the 14th chapter is? Everybody started crying and weeping. Everybody started crying. They just melted. They went to pieces because the counselors were not objective. There was no truth to the fact that they were grasshoppers in the sight of men. It was emotions. It was stirred up. It was contrived. It was not truth. They were not being objective. You need counselors in your life that are objective. And quit getting advice from Chevrolet salesmen that drive Ford trucks. I said, listen to somebody that knows the truth and walks with the Lord. Somebody that is objective. Rehoboam surrounded himself with men that were not objective. He knew what they would say. Remember, the Bible said they were brought up with him. They were too close to him. They feared maybe if they told him the truth or what, maybe they were just lack of spiritual understanding. Number three, some counselor, spiritual, objective. Boy, objective is critical. Bible says you can't deal with your brother that has a little beam when you got that 2x4 coming out of your own eye. Objective. Number three, mature. Mature. The text again that I read for you, they had been brought up and they loved their position. They loved where they were and not so much the king or the kingdom. They loved the place, and they were not mature enough. They were not mature enough to tell the king and to give him godly counsel. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4:14, that we are no more children,
No more children. How many want to be a grown-up? How many want to act like an adult this morning spiritually? Well, Paul said we are no more children when we are tossed to and fro. When you're in the midst of decisions and you're always waffling back and forth, unstable, in, out, up, down, on, off, back, forth, to, fro, up, down. When that is your life, Paul said that we are but like children spiritually. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We need counselors that are mature, that they are able to look into our life and speak truth clearly, emphatically, and without fear of repercussion. But you'll be honest. You surround yourself by people. That's why. Take for instance, I get to perform a lot of weddings, which I don't know if that's a blessing or not, pastoring a church. I really don't. I say that in a little bit of a flippant way, but weddings just, it's the one day we allow country music and immodest dress, and I don't understand why, as a holiness movement, it turns into a carnal celebration instead of a godly ceremony. And usually there's mothers competing, and I'd rather do a funeral than a wedding a lot of times, because at least they're dead. Sometimes the ones standing up there in the wedding, they just don't know it yet, but they're fixing to be. There are some couples that will allow you as pastor to speak into their life. But then some of your young folks, you can see it. They are not going to take anything from anybody. Who are you, pastor? That's exactly who I am. You got it. Bishop, you got it. You sheep, me shepherd, you got it. Very, very astute. But they don't want you speaking into their life. But they want to surround themselves by people that are just as immature as they are. That's why grandma is as immature as mom, who's immature as the granddaughter. Because they will never allow anybody to speak into their life. They will never allow anybody to give them any counsel that is somewhat contrary to anything. They're walking in a rebellious manner. You say in the midst of a church? Well, absolutely. In the midst of the holy? Absolutely. In the midst of this church? Absolutely. Folks walking in an absolute attitude of rebellion that defy or challenge or resist any semblance of authority in their life. Just ask their henpecked husband. He gave up a long time ago. It's just not worth the fight. It is just immaturity to the nth degree. But God, help us to have a spirit that is pliable. Help me to allow my spirit to be molded and to help my life to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You need mature counselors. Number four, Rehoboam replaced the old men with the young men. It was not about the age. It was about the experience. And the fourth counselor you need is somebody that is experienced. I remember when we were in Bible school, there was a lot of folks going to these seminars, and I could call his name, but it's really irrelevant. And he was doing these planning and family seminars, and he was doing marriage seminars and all that. And he was not married. And he had never had kids. Now, I'm sure the Bible truth that he spoke, I'm not discrediting some of the insights that he has, is valuable. But you know what? What I wanted to find out, I wanted somebody that was married. I wanted somebody that could talk to me from experience. If I was starting a business, you know how? I'd find somebody that has successfully started a business. I wouldn't find Joe Schmo down on the corner that had failed at five businesses. I'd find somebody that had walked in shoes of experience and success. And that was Rehoboam's problem. Solomon's counselors that he inherited had experienced a lot through the reign of Solomon. It wasn't that they were old and he wanted young men, but the value, I said the importance was in their experience. They had seen a lot of things. Hey, young folks, sit up and notice that the one with gray hairs, they have been where you're going and they're coming back. They didn't crawl out from underneath a rock. They have been where you're trying to get. They have been to the top of the mountain. Get under their feet and learn. Get counsel. Get wisdom. Let them impart into your life. I called a preacher about 5 or 6 weeks ago that I've never preached for. He has never preached here. And I called and I just made a phone appointment with him. I said, I'd like 30 minutes of your time. And I had some questions I wanted to give him. Church he has been at, pastored 45 years. It's somewhat conservative. And I needed to know, what am I not doing right? Why do I keep hitting the same numerical barriers? I need you to speak into my life because you have been further down the road than I am. And so for 30 minutes, I allowed that man to interview and to question me and to interrogate my life. When's the last time you went to someone and got godly counsel? Sometimes we get it locked in on cruise control and we think we've arrived when we have not. But I love what the psalmist says in closing. The Lord bringeth counsel of the heathen to naught. But the next verse, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Young folks, mom and dad, you want something to build your home, your life on? It's the counsel of the Lord. There's a lot of folks that want to speak into your life. Have you ever noticed that? Right. Haven't noticed there's a lot of people that give a lot of advice? There's some talking heads, man. It's like they got those teeth. You just wind up, man, they chatter. They're always willing. They're willing to tell you, but they've never done it themselves. I want somebody that has walked in shoes of experience. Because here's one thing I know about influence. It comes from respect. If you don't respect somebody, they can't influence you. There are some people that try to speak into my life that I have absolutely zero respect for. And because I have zero respect, they will never influence me whatsoever. Because for every second that I waste time listening to them, I could be finding a spiritual, objective, mature, experienced counselor that is willing to speak into my life the things of God. Who is your circle of influence? Run them. Let's run the names real quick. You got them in your mind. Who are the folks that you always text? We're living in such a fickle generation that Facebook influences young folks more than the Word of God. They'll see a picture and I had a preacher friend called me the other day and asked about one of you and said, well, what about? I said, what about her? How do you know her name? Well, so-and-so in my church said this and said, I said, man, doesn't that answer your question? If they're wanting to base a dating relationship on that, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for either one of them. I'd say no to both of them and I'd pastor one of them. It's pretty shallow living if you ask me. Pretty shallow living. When Facebook has more influence than parents. We're living in a shallow day. We need some counsel. So let's run your names real quick. Who is it? Who is it that you go to? Are they spiritual? Are they more spiritual than you? Are they objective? Let me give you a case in point. There was this guy in Bible school that was dating this girl, and she was getting advice from this other guy
who really wanted to date her. So he was telling her every bad thing about him. Now, how many sounds like that's objective? It's not really objective, is it? He had an ulterior motive. What about mature? What about experienced? Let me tell you something. You get around some of these saints of God that have been married. How long have you been married, Brother Miller? 36 years. Brother Bob? 56 years. 54. 71. You get around some of those. You want to talk about marriage? What about raising children? Find somebody that's raised children. Get around. Find out what they did. You want to have the joy of the Lord? Get over here and talk to Sister Shipes. Hadn't been easy. She's had some unplanned funerals in her life. Things that have made other people backslide. She's kept the joy of the Lord. And shouted as much as anybody I know. You get around. Find why. Not because it's easy. Not because she avoided heartache. But you find some counsel with her. Choosing the right circle. Let's stand, if you would, today in the house of the Lord. Rehoboam forsook the counsel. He forsook it. What do you do when you get godly counsel? When somebody comes to you and says, you shouldn't, you better be careful, you better watch out, you've got no business. What do? Some just reject it. Some get irritated. Others receive it. And then they walk in a blessed life. And then we look and we say, well, why are they always struggling? Well, keep rejecting counsel. Why are they always blessed? Because they're always willing to receive what God's trying to send their way. Whether it's through the Word of God, through the spoken truth of the Holy Ghost, or whether godly counsel. I want what God's got for my life, don't you? Would you lift your hands toward heaven this morning? Father, we love you. We magnify and glorify your name. You're worthy of all praise, and you're worthy.